find in Ephesians chapter 4. Hard to find a place to start, but we got to start somewhere, so we'll begin verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Say that with me tonight. True holiness. Say it again. True holiness. Amen. Somebody said holiness this and holiness that and holiness something else. Well, shut up. Let's talk about true holiness. Amen. Let's quit criticizing because of all the other facades we've seen and all the other pretenses and hypocrisies we've seen. Amen. And let's talk about true holiness. The real thing. How you like it? Praise God. Wherefore, putting away lying? Hey, that's true holiness. Quit lying. Amen. Friend of mine got saved, and he was the biggest liar in the country. Just tell the biggest old whoppers, tell a lie when the truth would suit better. Amen. Even after he got saved, you know what? He couldn't quit that lying. He didn't last very long. You don't last very long if you can't tell the truth. Your word's no good. Put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Well, how about that? Be ye angry and sin not. Didn't say you didn't never get angry. Sometimes it's good to be angry about something. But you don't have to sin. Amen. What's the first thing people usually do when they get angry if they sin when they get angry? Huh? They take God's name in vain. Use bad language. Corrupt communication. Amen. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Hey, you know how to wake up brand new in the morning? Just forgive all your enemies before you go to bed. Wake up next morning, smile at them. Hallelujah. Hey, when you meet them, they'll wonder what's wrong with you. They'll wonder what you're on. Amen. Just get them all confused. Amen. All of a sudden you've changed. Praise God. Amen. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. I heard this driving home one night. Heard this couple that had been allegedly picked up by a unidentified flying object. Taken on board and had been put through various experiments. And then they had defragged their brain somehow that they couldn't remember it. All they could remember was that there was nothing they could remember between this time. He was driving down the highway on an eastern highway. Amen. And then when they came to themselves, there was several hours difference between. They didn't know what happened between. Amen. And they said later on that they went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist, hypnotized them. And through reverse hypnosis, walked them back through the events of that episode on a flying saucer. And they were able, through reverse hypnosis, to remember what the little men on the flying saucer that they described how they looked had put them through various experiments and explained the experiments and so forth. Then I bought the book and read the book. After hearing them over the radio and after reading the book, I decided, this was my conclusion, that if some folks did live so close to the devil wouldn't give them near as much trouble. Well, amen, that was my conclusion of the whole matter. Amen. Bible said here, neither give place to the devil. Our lifestyle, the things we allow, can either bring a curse or a blessing upon us. Amen. What we want to do is lift the curse, praise God, and claim the blessing. Amen. Let him that stole steal no more. but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to save up and throw to the four winds and buy everything in the world he takes an ocean to and go in debt and everything else, and so he'll have to make some more money so he can get out of debt. Is that what he said? What did he say? Let him labor working with his hands that which is good, the thing which is good, that he may have to selfishly hoard. Is that what it said? Amen. That he may have so he can buy him some groceries. Is that what it said? That he may have so he can buy him a whole lot of the luxuries of life and be secure. Is that what it said? What does the Bible say for man to quit stealing and work with his hands? Amen. He said to work with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give. Well, I'll say, that puts a different light on everything. And I'll tell you what, John, that'll lift the curse. Amen. That will make the difference in your life. Amen. Some folks circulated a letter around, you know, that I was putting curses on people. Hey, I don't have one thing to do with any curses. Amen. You put the curse on yourself. Amen. It's automatic, folks. It's as automatic as can be. We curse our own lives. We curse our own finances. We curse our own house by our own lifestyle. Hey, if you're under a curse, don't blame nobody but yourself. Amen. It ain't me. I didn't do it. You did it to yourself. Y'all know who your worst enemy is? Look in the mirror. Amen. He's the one that gives you the most trouble. And I want you to know that if you're cursed, amen, you're to blame for it. Amen. It'll be nobody's record but mine. I'll be the only one have to face it. It'll be nobody's record but mine. Amen. Oh, yes, let him a stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Amen. Well, praise God. That puts a whole different slant on things. Well, that puts a whole different light on everything we do, our motivation for working. Amen. We may have to give to him that needeth. Amen. Young folks, you're big enough to go to work. Remember, amen, that you owe God 10% plus a good offering. Amen. And keep some out that you might have to give to him that needeth. Amen. Don't leave it to mom and dad to do your tithing and giving for you. Hey, if you're working, making money, you need to start tithing right at the outset. Right off the bat. Amen. Don't wait. Start paying tithes. Praise God. And offerings. Learn to be free-hearted early. We're born selfish. Amen. I was. You was. I mean, we learned to use the word mine real early. And when other little kids come into our domain, they begin to encroach upon our territory and touch our toys, the first thing we learn how to say, no, mine! Yeah. And the only reason your children learn better is because you slapped them halfway across the house. Amen. And taught them not to be selfish. Praise God. Well, maybe not halfway across, just a quarter of the way across the house. Amen. Just down on the floor, maybe. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you'll have to teach them not to be selfish. Praise God. And if you don't, they probably will be. Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hallelujah. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm not preaching on any of these. I'm just commenting a little bit as I go through. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Do it tonight before you go to sleep. Amen. Praise God. Listen to this last verse, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Amen. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen. Let me read you one more. We'll comment a little bit. I hold you too long. Colossians 1 and 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. I'm talking about tonight for Christ's sake. I commented a while ago how that God did great things for Moses' sake. Did you know if it hadn't been for Moses, they wouldn't have been as many Israelites got into Canaan as did. He wiped them all out. I mean, forget about 20 years old and upward. God killed them all. He said, Moses, get out of the way. I'll start a brand new nation with you. And Moses cried out to God. And God saved Israel in the wilderness for Moses' sake. I told you a while ago how that God gave Lot and Sodom a second and maybe a third chance for Abraham's sake. Amen. God give Abraham victory when the five kings captured Lot and all of his goods and all the kings of the plain. Amen. And took them captive, and Abraham armed his servants. Amen. And attacked that drunken bunch in the middle of the night and defeated them. Five kings he defeated them and delivered Lot and his family and all his substance and brought back the goods. Praise God. And celebrated victory. God did that for Abraham's sake. Amen. God said when he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, said, what is this that I'm about to do that I can't tell Abraham, seeing that he will command his house and his children after him? God knew what Abraham would do. Amen. Lord, have mercy. How many have I seen come up in church that didn't have any kids, and they knew how everybody ought to raise their kids? Boy, they'd even preach about it behind the pulpit until they got some. And how many have I seen that turned out to be renegades? Amen. After they got some. Amen. Preacher evangelist came to my house and sat there and watched his little girl completely dismantle my wife's antique coffee maker that she had sitting in the living room for decoration. As fragile as it was, she took it all apart and scattered it out on the floor, and he watched her do it. I had to intervene. Amen. To save the antique coffee maker. Amen. Did you know that there's some folks feels like they should indulge their brats? Well, that's what they are when other folks is looking at them. To them, it's their little jewel, their precious little child. Amen. They ought to be able to go into people's houses and dismantle their antiques and tear things up. And nobody should want to say anything about their precious one. Amen. I'll say something about it. Praise God. Amen. I never had that evangelist back no more. Why? There's something wrong with a person that won't control their kids. There's something wrong with their priorities when they won't try to control their kids. Amen. And let the kids run like a bunch of Indians through somebody's house. Amen. And tear things up and never fix up anything. Amen. I ain't having back no more. God said, what's this I'm about to do? Seeing Abraham shall command his house and his children after him. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Joshua said, amen, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served before the flood. Amen. Or whether a true and living God. But he said, as for me and my house will serve the Lord. And he didn't even take a vote on it. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Of course, Joshua wasn't henpecked like a lot of men sitting around holiness churches. Amen. That don't have anything to say. They're like the man and the woman standing up. This great big woman was standing, this little old bitty guy. Amen. And the preacher looked at the little guy and said, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? And she said, he does. And preacher was kind of taken aback, but he continued, said, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? She said, I do. And finally he looked over at this little old guy that was getting into this situation. He said, sir, do you have anything to say? And he said, pray for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, there's a lot of houses like that, but Joshua didn't even take a vote when he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. God will do things for men like that. Amen. Men that's got a backbone. Praise God. Men that's going to raise their children to fear the Lord. Men that's going to be men in their house and not leave it up to the women and the kids to do all the praying. That's not a man. Great God, the man's supposed to lead grace at the table. Little Bud Robinson, 11 years old, been raised in a drunkard's home. Amen. His sisters was keeping bad company. The boys that came to see his sisters would get so drunk on his daddy's whiskey that they'd have to lift up on the horse before they could go home. Amen. Bud Robinson had never seen anything but cussing and fighting and whiskey making and drunkenness in all his life. And one day, 11 years old, he went to eat with a Christian family on Sunday. And he was awed by the fact that they had a white tablecloth on the table. He'd never seen anything that nice, anything that clean. Everybody had clean dishes and a napkin. And they all sat down at the table to eat that day. And he said the father bowed his head and talked to somebody. He said, I couldn't see. But he was so impressed by it. He said, when I get big, I'm going to have a big house like that. And I'm going to have a table with a white tablecloth on it with nice dishes on it. And he said, before I eat, I'm going to talk to somebody that I can't see. Praise God. It made such an impression on the heart of that little old 11-year-old boy. Praise God. We need men like that. Will lead their families in grace. They will lead their families in prayer. They will lead their families to God. They will take things under control. Say, we're going to church. Oh, do we have to go to church? Get in there and get your clothes on. You're going. Amen. You know, there never was any question around our house whether he's going to church or not. We never did vote. Amen. Praise God. I just had a board meeting, me, myself, and I, and we decided we was going, we went. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. That's what you got to do. You got to command your house and your children after you. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God will do things for the sake of men that will take that place of leadership. Did you know that's why men are supposed to have short hair? It is a sign of their headship in the family. Did you know that's why a woman's supposed to have long hair? It is a sign that she accepts her role in the will of God in subjection to her husband. Amen. Somebody said, a woman ought not to say anything in the church. A woman ought not to pray in the church. Amen. A woman ought not to prophesy. A woman ought to keep silence in the church. Ah, but there is an exception. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7:11 says, any woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. There's the condition. If she's got the sign on her head, amen, her long hair shows that she has accepted the role of a woman that God has given her. Amen. Hallelujah. And that gives her the right under His headship, the anointing of the Spirit, both to pray and prophesy in the congregation. Amen. The word prophesy means preach. You won't be able to tell any difference in prophecy and preaching. Amen. The prophecies of the Old Testament is what Jim Lawson preached on a while ago. David prophesied in Psalms chapter 1. Amen. That's what Jim Lawson preached on a while ago. Amen. The Bible said in Joel chapter 2, I'll pour out in the last days of my spirit on your sons and daughters. And they shall prophesy. Amen. Ah, both the sons and the daughters are going to prophesy. And He said, on my servants and on my handmaidens. Amen. Ah, yes. Why do we believe in women preachers at the Highway of Holiness Church? Amen. I'm dictating policy now. Amen. Why do we believe in women preachers at the Pentecostal Highway of Holiness Church? Because we're Pentecost. That's why. Amen. If they got the long hair, amen, and they got the subjectivity, and they got the right spirit, ain't a whole revival in my church. Amen. Anytime God leads, ain't a whole about. If it hair lips granny, amen, ain't a whole revival in my church. Glory to God. Amen. Why? Because I'm going to produce the authority. They can be the mouthpiece. Amen. I'll produce, I with their husband, I'll produce the authority. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, sir. He said He will command His house and His children after Him. God said, I'll do great things for my servant David's sake. Amen. You know what God did for David? He forgave him and renewed His promise to David. And He's still going to, God still has plans for David. Amen. Bible prophesies in a half a dozen or a dozen places that David's coming back and David's going to reign in Jerusalem. Amen. And so we were standing there in Jerusalem on Zion's Hill at David's tomb. Amen. While those little 12-year-old boys, 11, 12-year-old boys, amen, came in there. They filed right past us as we stood there with our guide and everything. And those old boys, they didn't pay attention, school children. Amen, they walked right up just because they get to that casket all draped in blue velour. Amen, with those crowns on top of it. They laid their hands on them caskets and they was praying. You'd have thought you was in a Pentecostal meeting. Amen, praying in Hebrew. We asked our guide what they was praying. Said they're praying for the return of David. Amen. He's coming back. One of my friends, I told him about that. He laughed and said, well, said, we know David's not coming back. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. You know, there's some folks that don't even believe hardly that David's saved. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. If he ain't, we ain't neither. If he ain't, you ain't got a Chinaman's chance. Praise God. Yes, sir, David saved, and God is still doing things for Israel for David's sake. If God will bless Israel, if God will bless the children of God, and God will bless His people in the wilderness and save a whole people for Moses' sake, bless them and give them chance after chance for Abraham's sake. Bless them for Joshua's sake. Amen. For David's sake and the prophet's sake. What in the world will he do for Jesus' sake? Amen. I'll tell you what he'll do for Jesus' sake. He said that God for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. I mean, imagine that. Think of it tonight. That God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We didn't deserve it. We wasn't worth it. My God, what did He see in me? Amen. But oh, hallelujah, God looked down and for Christ's sake, saved me. Amen. And then, what had we ought to do? For Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we ought to do just exactly what God has done for Christ's sake. Hey, be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven us. Do that before you go to sleep tonight. You can do it. Amen. You can forgive just like God forgave you. I just can't forgive Him. I can't forgive Him. I can't forget it. Oh, yes, you can, or you can't be forgiven. It's that simple. If you won't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Well, I'll forgive, but I can't forget. Then God won't forget yours either. Amen. I mean, He'll play around with you and make you think you're forgiven, but when He comes right down to you, He's going to throw it up to you again after a while when you get to the judgment. Because you couldn't forget. He won't forget. Amen. You think God can forget? He said He could. He said, I'll cast their sins into the sea. Amen. I'll remember their iniquities no more against them. God can forget. Why does God forget? How can God forget when He's God? Amen. I'll tell you how He does it for His Son, Jesus' sake. He looks down at His Son who died. And He sees the scars and His shredded back. And He sees the blood that He shed and the agony He suffered. Amen. Because He loved us so much. And God, when He looks at Jesus, said, He loved them so much. He died for them. I'm going to forgive. Amen. And when we look at each other, we're going to have to make up our mind that He loved them so much that He died for them too. And I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be tender-hearted. Praise God. And I'm going to be forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Oh, if God did all those things and He's blessed your family for your sake, I done told you that. I mean, things are better at your house because you gave your life to God. The marvelous grace and forgiveness of God has come nigh to you. Amen. And people can see it on your face. And after Sister Colin and I got married, and I think we had Kim with us. And amen, we went by some of our folks down at Truman, Arkansas, and most of them hadn't got saved yet. My mother's brothers, mother's sisters all moved down there, was living down there. Amen. And Uncle Orton that used to live next door to us almost, my mom's brother, next to her, amen, and next to my mom's sister Hazel, the oldest one of the boys, really, Uncle Orton, he made the statement later on, amen, that he saw God in us. He saw God in our life. Praise God. I want to tell you what, it may look like you're losing at first in your family, but they're going to see God in you. Amen. After a while, Orton, amen, and Carrie, amen, and Dosha, amen, and Fletcher, And even Bartus, I think, amen, my mom's sisters and brothers, praise God, a bunch of them got saved down there around Truman, Arkansas. My mom's youngest brother, Cecil, became a gospel preacher and pastor of the church down around Jackson, Savannah, Tennessee. Amen. And I broke the ice. I started the ball rolling. I lived for God when I walked alone. Amen. But God will do things for your family, for your sake, if you live for God. You just be faithful to God. Amen. One day you'll turn around, there'll be a whole bunch of them walking the aisles for your sake. Praise God. And oh, just one more as we close tonight and they get us a song. We now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul said, I'm filling up what is lacking of the sufferings of Christ for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. If God did all that for our sake, what should we do for his body's sake, the church? Church is the arm of God. Church is the catalyst that reaches out and saves souls. God has no arms but yours. He has no voice but yours. He has no lips but yours. He has no feet but yours. You're the body of Christ. You're the one that he reaches through. You're the one that he's going to use to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, and snatch them in pity from off the dark waves. Amen. Stand with us tonight. And let's pray, Father, touch our lives. Make us the arms of God. Make us willing, Lord, even if we have to go through inconvenience and suffer a little bit, that we do it for his body's sake, the church. That we do it for the advancement of the kingdom of God. That we go when we're tired and we do when we're weary. Amen. Because we know that sometime soon he's going to say, come aside and let's rest a little while. Come apart and let's rest a little while. Oh, he'll send the rester, the Holy Ghost, and he'll take over. Praise God, and you can watch him work. Oh, you may be so tired and so worried and so weary. So tired and so worried and so weary about your children, about your husband, about your family, the way they're going. Oh, it just bothers your mind. But hold on to God. You're going to turn around one of these days and they'll be breaking for the altar. Overnight, they'll make the change. Overnight, they'll come in. Amen. And if some never come, and some things never happen, even though we waited long for them, we can at least say we tried. We suffered for his body's sake, which is the church. We give it our best shot. We run that last long mile with all our mind and heart and soul and spirit. We strained every nerve. We pulled out the stocks. We held nothing back. We gave till we couldn't give no more, it seemed. Amen. And we went until we couldn't go. But in eternity soon, we'll have the satisfaction of knowing that even though we suffered for his body's sake, the church, amen, it was worth it. Worth it all. Come on to this altar tonight. Amen. Let's go the limit for God. Say, Lord, take me, mold me, shape me, make me what you want me to be. Help me be willing, Lord God, when I'm tired and weary to keep going for God. Help me, Lord, when I don't feel like it, when it's out of season, to be instant. Lord, and when I feel like it, when it's in season, to be instant. Glory to God, to go, do, and be what you want us to be. For the sake of Christ, come on tonight. Come on tonight. Come on tonight. Amen. Let's seek him tonight.
Isaiah saw the Lord.
Let's seek him tonight.
Isaiah. upon his throne. His glory was so real, his holiness was shown. Woe is me, cried the prophet, for I am undone. Then God sent a holy ghost.
Come on.
Upon the prophet.
Let God touch your life. Let God touch your mind. Let God give you a brand new heart. Have a brand new mind. A brand new attitude. A brand new outlook.
Who for me will stand? Is there not a man who will plead my cause?
Seek a closer walk with God. Seek more of God. Hey! Until you be endued with power from on high.
For all the world to see. God spake to Jeremiah, the prophet he ordained. Go into the nation, declare my holy name. Root up all deception. Tear down every lie. Destroy the works of the enemy. I'll stand right by your side. Is there not a man who for me will stand? Is there not a man who will plead my cause? Is there not a man who would go for me? Who will bear my standard for all the world to see? Every generation God has sought for men who will stand for righteousness and fight against all sin. God has not changed. He is seeking still. He is seeking men today to do his perfect will. Is there not a man who for me will stand? Is there not a man who will plead my cause? Is there not a man who will go for me? Who will bear my standard for all the world to see? Is there not a man who for me will stand? Is there not a man who will plead my cause? Is there not a man who will go for me? Who will bear my standard for all the world to see? God spake to Jeremiah, the prophet he ordained. Go into the nations, declare my holy name. Root up all deception, tear down every lie. Destroy the work of the enemy. I'll stand right by your side. Is there not a man who for me will stand? Is there not a man who will plead my cause? Is there not a man who will go for me? Who will bear my standard for all the world to see? Every generation God has sought for men who will stand for righteousness and fight against all sin. God has not changed. He is seeking still. He is seeking men today to do His perfect will. Is there not a man who for me will stand? Is there not a man who will plead my cause? Is there not a man who will go for me? Who will bear my standard for all the world to see? Is there not a man who for me will stand? Is there not a man who will plead my cause? Is there not